Oh, guys. Saul left his aviators here.
Leave him alone. He's going to be back shortly.
No, I think this is the source of his powers.
I don't know.
I got to try these on.
No.
Hey, guys, I'm back.
No, they know! Oh, God, he put them on! Lee, take them off! Rip them off him!
What did you see?
Everything.
Did you see him?
What?
Did you see him?
Yes!
We're out of time. I have to go.
No, take me with you!
Come on. I'll train you. I guess the podcast is yours.
Okay.
Bye.
Have fun.
Cue the roll call.
We're live! Zenkai Gan!
Loading. Connect.
Watching all the anime. Redcaster. Show Raven.
Equipment Wielder. Bluecaster. Yoshida Zazil.
Loyal and Loud, Pinkcaster, Lightred!
Trauma Inducer, Northcaster, Saga!
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet!
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
On air!
And then, magically, Selenlyn saved his home planet.
Can we just come back?
So, welcome to episode 112 of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
Yep. Lane, we never speak of that again.
No.
So that's why Gar's not here. Erased him from the fucking timeline!
That was a necessary sacrifice.
Yeah, he also fucking ripped Forze away from the timeline. What's Forze?
I don't know
why I said that.
Sounds disappointing.
Sounds like shit.
Sounds disappointing and possibly overblown.
Sounds like something I would thoroughly enjoy.
Although
hi, everybody!
Yay!
Gar's not here!
Again!
Hi, Gar!
For his own fucking month!
Like, Gar's not here. You know, like, the majority of the beginning of the podcast.
No, he left the last week of Ultra Month to me, so...
It's Ultra Lie.
Yes, whatever.
All Gar...
It's Ultra Month for me!
All Gar has done is Ultra Lie.
And that is the name of this episode.
Okay.
The thumbnail just seems to be just Ultraman, body of Ultraman with Gar's face.
Yeah!
Now I'm gonna write that down.
Yeah!
Anyways.
We're off to a good start, people.
Alright, so, to wrap up Ultra Month, because next week we will be at Con Bravo.
We, we decided to watch the first episode of the new, series of Ultraman, Ultraman Orb, which is the 50th anniversary of the show, so.
And before we get to that, we're going to be talking about Kamen Rider Ghost episode 40 and Dobutsu Sentai Zoroger episode 21.
One of them was cool, one of them was not.
You be the judge.
Find out.
Both of them were pretty not cool.
Find out! Right now.
Find out this time on Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
Same.
Cue the roll call.
Again?
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
Alright, so the episode opens with Arya respawning, as we all expected her to.
Yeah. Yeah, and just instantly mooks, and she's like, oh, shit.
I think I saw a porn that started this way.
Oh.
I just like how Adele is flip-flopping on this.
Well, it's
like
a female in a Kamen Rider series. You never know.
Because, like, last week he apparently had resolved to killing her, but this week he's like, I feel like I'll just keep you around now.
Well, I already turned you into a living person.
I mean,
again.
Now this was just fair. Me, and I mean, like, there's only so many ways you can make a hyper sleep chamber look, but those were right out of Alien.
Yeah.
That was very Ridley Scott.
Yeah.
I feel like they should have been a little more stylized.
Yeah.
Also, Igor's still alive.
Yay.
Hooray. Well,
fuck, yeah, don't worry, Raven. I talked about how.
Yeah.
How?
Opinions on him last week.
Yeah.
Go away! We don't want you here anymore.
No one likes you.
I think Mayu is, like, self-aware compared to the other characters because she goes over to Takaru and says, do people tell you you're annoying? And I'm just
thinking, you're annoying.
She listens to Cast Ranger.
That's just her. She's the representative of all the fan, the bystanders that just catch him on the street. Just, do people tell you you're annoying?
How great would it be if, like, we found out one day that they actually, like, listened to us?
That would be cool. If you're listening, blink once in the comment section.
Make Colorado Braves actor fat.
Yeah, do that. I'm okay. I'd be okay with that. Yeah, and we get more connections to the movie because over the course of it, we see Alan remembering Argos, and we see Makoto remembering his daddy.
Argos, okay, as silly as, like, his haircut
and
shit is.
And we get those silly freaking narrations from Sage that make no sense to us right now.
Yeah.
Aside from making him look like the villain.
I know, right?
Yeah, no, apparently he had something to do with fucking Argos and Makoto's dad, so I'm like...
I did love, like, how, like, they tried to pull a fast one. It seemed even on the audience still. Like, I get that the characters don't know what's going on, right? But it really seemed like they were trying to make it, like, oh, we don't know either! Like, we knew since, like, the fact that the monster wasn't moving like a monster.
Yeah. No, it was immediately obvious.
You get what I mean, though, when I say it felt like this show was still trying to make it?
Yeah.
Oh,
nobody knows!
So our fan, Dan Camp, he responded to Gar's fuck you on the whole Ghost thing.
The writers.
So let's quickly... So apparently the head writer of Ghost has been absent since Deep Spectre debuted. The other two writers have moved the story as slow as possible because they don't know what he's planning.
Wow, and that's a long gap.
And when the head writer comes back, he writes filler episodes like he did these last 2 weeks with the body swap episodes. And he's the same.
In short, the writing staff has their own heads up their asses and don't know what the fuck to do with the show anymore.
Just XA, give it to us, please.
Yeah, I feel like...
We have 10 more episodes of this shit. Of this.
Guys, like, I feel like Ghost has died.
It died since episode one. No. It died alongside Takaru in episode one.
And then again the second time. And the third time.
Yeah. Anyways, we'll get into our full opinions on Ghost once the actual show ends. So there's still 10 episodes left. We don't know what's ahead.
They have time to turn it around.
So, we got to see inside the Billy the Kid icon, and surprising absolutely
it's
nobody.
It's Saloon!
Woo! Yeah, that was nice.
Yay! I love that they're just so stereotypical with their locations.
And I like that Grateful Dimashi is actually using some tactics, like, on advisory, on advice granted, but it's like, you need these three heroes to stop his magnetism. Okay!
I did like how, like, the Billy the Kid ghost even explained, you know, I was killed by my best friend. He's not even that mad about it.
Yeah.
It's like, if it had to be anyone, I guess.
He's been dead for, like, fucking...
Yeah, and I mean...
I mean, like,
if you think about it, it makes sense.
Saying it without saying it, yeah, Garrett was, you know, in the right here. This guy was an outlaw.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, he's kind of got a point. If you're going to die, at least die on your own terms, kind of thing.
Plus, Billy the Kid Dimashi is
fucking
cool.
As Cell puts his hand on Lane's shoulder.
Yeah, got your back.
But no, Billy the Kid Dimashi actually is, like, the Park Ghost was actually really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I love how he talks and stuff. Like, just in the subtitles, you can see he's just speaking like a guy from the Wild West, so it's awesome.
Yeah. And they resolve the body swap episode. No one cares.
Seriously, though. Monster Dad shows up. All of them are present. Takara's like, oh my god, why does her father and her body have fucking magic powers all of a sudden? Oh, hey, look, the monster. Let's kill that.
Yeah. And Akari's the one who notices something's not quite right.
Something's not right here, but Takara's already fucking...
He almost murdered a man!
Yeah, he was about to murder the guy. But apparently that was the right decision, because shooting him put them all back to fucking normal.
Yeah, I guess.
Thank God, because just... Just seeing this thing move was
That was
awkward.
What I was going to say. I couldn't put my finger on it. Why is this one moving so weird? Then Raven put...
I'm the one who pointed it out. It's... Seriously, that is really obviously two guys in that suit walking on one leg each.
But I mean, like, it kind of makes sense because that was fused from two guys.
I get it. I get why now.
The
but
point
it just
makes sense.
I couldn't understand why it looks so weird to
me. No, I know. I feel like either that or it was a guy, like, hunched down in a suit with his legs
spread
out.
Oh, the legs are too spread out.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for real.
There's two guys in there.
That must have been fucking hard.
That was the point.
Guys, I just had this thought. Those are, like, two suit actors who are really getting on the director's nerve. So he's like, you know what?
It's your punishment.
You get to be Magnet.
You get to be the you get to be the giant enemy crab.
And you know what? We're not going to give you any real direction. Just vague.
Stumble the fuck about.
And the best friend of the father was the one who was the bad
who
guy.
Who could have possibly predicted
Which
that?
Which is funny because that guy is the actor who played Jiraiya.
Is it?
Yeah. That was the second
Sekai Ninja. Ninja!
It was Jiraiya.
So Jiraiya was the dirty cop.
Yep.
Are you talking about Kakuranger? Ranger?
No, Jiraiya.
Jiraiya,
the metal hero?
Oh, fucking
He cameoed in Ninja.
No, yeah, you're right. Sorry, I'm just so on Cocker Ranger. So
oh, I know.
Like, that's not King Kasagi.
Yeah, yeah. And we got a new Mugen Hisats Isama shoot, which means Valiance.
Yep.
That's neat.
Yeah, we saw Taku glow purple at one point. It was interesting.
Yeah. And we got a little shot of Daigo with the Zero Spectre icon. And in the little short that connects to the movie, we see that Sage gave Argos his Ghost Driver and probably also Daigo.
And is so coming off as the villain of the movie.
I know.
Right now.
It's the exact same thing they did with Krim in the Drive movie.
Well, no. What I took from it was apparently Sage had some plan and he tried to get Argos and Makoto's dad involved in it.
And then they both decided. Them are fighting each other.
Yeah, and then they both decide no. They just did their own thing.
So, next week, Akari gets possessed by Beethoven, and Edith finally does the thing.
Yeah!
I was gonna say, we are in the worst type of filler right now. End game filler.
Yeah.
Like, okay, Cannon is being possessed by Billy Kid. That was cute. Kind of weird, but cute. Onari being possessed by Goemon. Fucking spot on. That's amazing and badass. Beethoven?
Why not Edison?
Yeah,
or Newton?
Edison or Newton! Like, why Beethoven? We already had fucking Sage dress up as him at one point, so, like, fuck.
Yes, but it wasn't him, though.
Also, Beethoven's probably just pissed that Akira hasn't used him at all since the first time.
I bet the first thing when, like, Beethoven...
What the fuck aren't you using me?
No, just Beethoven's first reaction to possessing a car. Oh my god, I can hear!
Oh my god!
Yeah,
can you imagine if they did that?
Beethoven's deaf!
Oh! That would be amazing!
Well, he wasn't deaf, he just had really bad hearing, right?
Well, like, he went deaf.
Yeah, he did go deaf.
Syphilis. Nasty.
I bet you they won't, but if they do, I'll be blown away.
Syphilis?
Really?
I don't know, I was just narrow.
No.
Good one.
Alright, so...
Misao is the coolest character!
And Juhodger keeps...
I love him!
And Juhodger, well,
okay, not coolest, but I love him.
And Juhodger keeps continuing to show that I hate Tusk so much!
Why? Because he's the only right one?
Yeah, right?
No, but, like, it just showed that he can just... He's an asshole to everybody.
You know, here's
he's not an asshole.
All that everyone else is a jerk-off.
Actually, that's the thing. Look, I'm all for, like, you know, Tusk has to learn his lesson. Sometimes you gotta live life a little. Sometimes you gotta be nicer. Sometimes you gotta do this and that. Here's the problem. In all the examples they're showing of him being a hard-ass, it's for perfectly good reasons. Like, they're on guard duty. You don't slack off if the fate of your city is in your hands.
The one example that I will disagree with him is, like, her, like, Amu putting the ribbon on her spear. Who the fuck cares?
That was stupid, yeah.
But the other ones, I completely am on Tusk's side for.
Leo, don't fucking slack off.
It's like, because here's the thing. I shouldn't compare this to real life, obviously. But, like, I'm really think about it. If, let's say you're in Tusk's position where you're just the responsible one, unfortunately... And everyone else is just fucking off while there's actual work that's important to be done.
Yeah.
You're gonna be pissed!
And I've been in that position a lot.
It's just like, sorry, Lane, I can't agree with you entirely that Tusk is an asshole. He's a realist. He could be nicer, yeah, but everyone else could be a lot less stupid.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just don't like Tusk.
Oh, I do.
That's my point.
You hate Indian people, we get it.
Ooh.
No! Also, I never noticed that Tusk, apparently in his Zuman form, he has gray hair.
I
kind of wish they made Tusk's, like, actor older.
That would have been...
They should have made him, like, a 30s.
Actually, that's going to be the... Now, granted, this goes without saying with Power Rangers, like I said, it's multicultural, the show.
Yeah.
Right? I'm going to be interested to see if they'll actually go that route.
Yeah, when cast everyone based on their...
Yeah, when they go do Joe Osher.
I'm interested to see that.
Yeah.
But what the other thing I noticed this week
Correct
is...
Correct me if I'm wrong. Hold on. That would be... Because, let's be honest, lions are from Africa, mm-hmm. right? That'd be the first time a black person was... a male black person would be a Yellow Ranger, am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There have been female
Yeah,
black
yeah,
Yellow
yeah,
Ranger.
Tanya Aisha, but yeah. I'm trying to, like, think. No, I don't think there's ever been a black male Yellow Ranger.
That would be cool.
That would be cool.
But yeah, everyone...
The Red Ranger's gonna be white.
Yeah, unquestionably. Everyone in this episode has new outfits, because it's summer.
It's summer, and aren't we feeling that over here?
God.
I feel so sorry for Leo's actor, who just doesn't wear those dreadlocks still.
Yeah.
Imagine it's like a Hagrid costume where he's got like cold water tubes running through it.
I would be okay. Yeah,
that's
cool.
They did for Hagrid's costume.
Yeah, yeah,
that's awesome.
And Misao is fucking adorable. He shows up in a suit with gifts.
Dry cleaned the shirt Yamato gave him and was just like, "Here, take this back and clean for you." You know, just like
this is jumping the gun a little. I love Mondo. I do. I really do. But I do like how they even kind of go, okay, dude, enough's enough.
Yeah.
Like, can you stop?
Yeah.
It's kind of annoying, isn't it? Yeah, I bet we like him.
Yeah,
and then just
okay.
Tusk just fully goes on. Or, like, at one point, yeah, they're arguing later, and he's just like, how would you apologize to your personality? And it's just like, whoa!
Okay.
Easy, pal.
I think
he needed that, though.
Can I jump in here a little?
Yes.
Please do.
I'm going to be the unpopular one here. Okay. I really don't like Misao. I really dislike him.
I'm on the level of I like him enough.
I really
I think he's
don't.
Adorable.
He's adorable.
I am on the note with Leo on this one, and this guy's fucking annoying.
Yeah.
It's a metaphor.
Yeah, but no, he's just...
For fans of the show.
Actually, I think I'm going to compare him to another tokusatsu character, and this probably explains perfectly why I don't like him.
Oh.
Gentaro.
Let's not say things we can't take
no.
back.
No! Gintaro's not awkward!
He kind of was lame.
He just wanted to be friends with everybody!
Yes.
Why did you voice
okay,
him?
Okay,
he needed to be 100% awkward in doing
Gintaro was a different kind of awkward.
Yes.
Gintaro was
full
force, we are friends forever now!
Very similar, and I did.
I want to be friends with you!
That's what Misao is.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I really want to be friends with you, but I'm a worthless piece of trash.
That's what Misao is.
No, and so, like, at one point, like, the Death Galleon shows up.
Prisonable.
Oh, yeah.
He was cool.
He was cool.
He reminded me of that one monster from Shinkenger where he was, like, capturing people and, like, from Curiouser. Curia Green had to, like, use his sword
techniques.
Oh, yeah,
he had to, like, he put him in cells.
Yeah,
yeah.
And like, Curia Green had to use his father's sword techniques.
But no, just, it was hilarious to see him come to the fight or whatever like that, and then, like, they're transformed. And you just see Leo carrying Misao on his back, and I'm just like, I died. Like,
that
I really left was like,
yeah.
That was funny.
I love it, that was funny. It was great also, though, seeing even after he's
transformed.
Like,
I was about to say, yeah, he transforms and he's still on his back. I would have loved to have them to animated a custom, like, the stock transformation sequence of Leo with Misao.
You just see him just,
not going
like,
nuts.
Yeah, you just see him just, But he's just so down, and Leo's just, like, trying to be like, fuck off your ass, come on, let's go. And he's like, no, I can't fight.
But it...
Piece
Emily,
of shit.
I mean, Misao.
But, like... I mean, they're kind of right. He needed to fuck off, and
he
because he kept daisy chanting, "Oh, I'm not worthy," he caused the entire scenario of the episode.
We're not worthy.
I was gonna say, have we made that joke yet?
Yes.
I think so, but
let's
it's worth
go!
It.
So the plot of the episode kicks in.
So Tusk and Misao stuck in a cave with only one exit. Oh my god, I found the exit! This was such a hard journey!
Okay. I will give Tusk one thing, credit for one thing that he did was real fast. He was had a ball and chain, transform, and still just, like, whooped ass.
Well, yeah.
And then he managed to get things. But then I love that just the player just was like, nope, you get more ball and chains on you.
Yeah.
Shit!
Like, right out of Jaws.
Yeah.
You get four balls and chain on your one foot, and then I dump a cave on
you.
You
get four balls.
Four balls.
Seven
balls. Seven asses.
I just like how when they got captured, like, Sela tried to use her, like, diving ability to go in after them. That was a neat idea.
You know what was
it? It didn't work, but it was a good try.
Weird was the whole fucking, like, thing where Amu's helmet bit.
Yeah! I was like, she pulled a gills and her helmet opened.
I was like, the only reason that was there was so they could have a reason how they knew where they were going.
Yeah.
Oh, he kind of tasted like the ocean. How?
I know, right?
What the hell?
He tasted like salt.
To the restaurants.
Also, it was cool seeing Sarah, like, move through the concrete.
We just said that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's cool. That's what I said.
It gave me real senior pink vibes.
I was going to say Street Sharks, but okay.
Oh,
by the way, apparently the Zuo the Light is also an actual flashlight.
Makes sense.
Fun. Yeah. Well, I could do that.
I hear something in the distance. Tusk went off that way. Well, I'm just gonna use this as an actual flashlight instead of transforming.
I fucking hate that in shit when like something it's disguised as or is meant to be doesn't also perform that function.
I know, right? It sucks that the Burger Morpher wasn't also edible.
Right? Then it could have been gone.
I still say we need to freaking jerry-rig the bat clock into an actual clock.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like that, what's that joke from the Spy Kids movie? That watch will do everything except tell you what time it is.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just like the yokai watch.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh, I made Lane sad.
I like the yokai watch.
It's easy.
No.
We got more hilarity from Misao's delusional Zuman.
I really want to know where that's going. Like, are these actually the real guys?
No,
right?
No.
In his head.
Well, I know they said that, but, like, I mean,
oh,
I
you
don't
want
know.
You want it to turn out that they actually are alive in his
maybe,
head?
Maybe, like,
that'd
I don't
be a nice twist. That,
like, they're just helping him?
That's what we thought it was when it was first announced, and then he was like, nah, we're delusions inside your head. But I feel like they could just be fucking with him for
cool.
hilarity.
Oh, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, I know, right? I kind of hope it does now that we think about it.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Misa, like, also gave the Jojos, like, their plushies. I'm like, wow, these are really good. These look like us. Yeah, I made them.
Oh.
You made these? Yeah, I made this lunch, too.
I mean, what else is he doing with his life?
And Mario just walks in. He's like, oh, aren't you a
good
guy?
Holy hell, guys, it is Emily. I made these. Is that us?
I made this fan art of you.
Emily, you know we love you to death.
I know, yeah. No, think about it. I made this for you. Is that fan art of us? Yes, and here's a pizza.
Pretty much. No, see, my take on that whole scene when he's like, yeah, no, I made those myself. And I made the freaking Jell-O, whatever it is, in that box myself, too. I'm just sitting there. When Tusk got all excited, I was 100% expecting Tusk to go, please move in with us. You can actually get shit done around here.
That would have been great.
I just imagined this show took the biggest fucking left turn. Excuse me, hold on. Where he makes the food for them, and they're like, oh my god, this is great. What's in this? Oh, you know, the normal stuff. Spices, ramen, my hair. What? My hair.
Part of me is inside of you.
Do you feel me?
Human hair.
Do you feel me inside of you?
Oh my god.
What's in this? Fingernails.
So then, like, Misao's trying to talk to Tusk or whatever, and then he realizes how awkward Tusk is too, and then he's like, well, you're awkward too?
The rhino was right!
We're going to be friends!
Double awkward power!
Has he not told them about these voices yet?
No.
That's
amazing. He just keeps saying something about the rhino, and they're like, and the thing is, they should be able to assume what he's talking about, because they know that they put the Zuman power in him. I feel like they should have figured that out by now.
I don't know. Like, if you just said, I'm hearing voices, I don't think it matters what dimension you're from. That's gonna sound weird.
Okay, fair. I like how Tusk started inspecting all of Misao's gear, like the morpher and the cubes and the weapon.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah.
But, it was a nice little thing. Oh, we got the, I can't remember. Was this the first time we saw Misao in the opening?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah.
He's fishing.
And in the roll call, formally.
Yep.
We got the formal henshin, we got the six-man roll call, new group emblem in the background. Beautiful. Uh-oh. Beautiful.
All the Ernemros.
Beautiful.
New wallpapers. At least three new wallpapers.
And then what do we get when they finally all come together?
We get the three Megazords fighting together, including the debut of Cube Komori, the Bat Boomerang.
Oh, yeah, because he found the bat in the cave.
Yeah, and that's how they got out.
That's why it was in a cave.
Yeah, bat broke fucking chains, you guys.
It used a square-shaped supersonic attack.
Yep. And then just friggin'...
You don't know that sonic waves are curves.
And just at the end, Misa is just like, oh, he's a little bat friend. He's like, mwah.
He's like nuzzling it. It's almost
creepy. I just realized, too... Okay, what is Cube Komori as a weapon?
Boomerang.
It's a batarang. I'm pretty sure we made that joke.
Yeah, we've talked about that many times.
But I like how they busted out all them three Megazords and all four weapons, and for some arbitrary reason, Zuo Wild gets two weapons and everyone else gets the one.
Well, because we gotta show them all off.
No, I know. I wonder what the thought process was on give Zuo Wild two weapons.
That was the first one.
No, it wasn't. Zuo King was.
Oh, sorry, you're right. Oh, no, wait, yeah, you're right.
Mega Garnet had...
No, you know why it was wild? Gorillas. Opposable thumbs.
Sure. You know what? I'll accept that. Sure.
Also, Misa took Tusk to go fishing. That's adorable.
That was great. How like, can you guys help me?
No.
And then we got the second verse for the ending, which features Zuo the World's Animals and Gorilla.
And also we got Larry and the Birdman. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck? Why is the Birdman in this ending?
Because they had the costume.
But then we just saw Larry, and I'm like,
you know Larry. Why? You know why? Because Larry, that's what he's doing. He's going around the world teaching kids how to dance.
Amigo!
No, yeah, and then we just see that one huge-ass, fucking crowd shot, just everyone dancing. I was like, whoa.
That was the shot that we got the spy shot of a while ago where we first saw
Misa. Yeah,
So that was amazing.
I just had this image in my head of Larry, it's like Mo at the end of that episode of The Simpsons where Homer became a boxer. Where are you going now, Larry? Nowhere in particular. I just need to go somewhere
to think.
And we get this, montage of him, doing good around the world. rescuing people, giving aid, putting out forest fires.
Yeah. Eating bananas.
Are you an angel? Yes, Homer, I'm an angel.
No!
That's gonna be the scene.
Amigo!
No, that's gonna be the scene when Larry's in trouble. The Birdman's gonna come in and swoop him. Are you an angel? Yeah, I'm an angel, Larry. All us angels wear aviator goggles.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so next week we get an episode where everything Misao touches explodes.
Sounds like my sex life.
Which leads up into Wild Tosai King's debut.
The name of my porn.
No! Wild Tosai King?
Everything I touch explodes, featuring Wild Tosai King.
Yeah.
No, that's not my porn name at all.
What is it?
Oscar Strange.
Oscar Strange. mine's Pinkcaster.
Oh, speaking of Pinkcaster, you want to mention what you got?
Oh, yeah. So I finally received my Pinkcaster icon.
You really should have done this in the news.
For my buddy Reggie. So it's really awesome. Thank you. I don't know if you're listening to this, but thank you, Reggie.
Actually, Lane, I want you to remember to bring this up in the news next week, too, because then we can actually show a picture.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So next month I'm going to get him to make my Pinkcaster pop vinyl. So I'm looking forward to see how he does that.
My question is, will he do the ultimate trick? Make Lane's virginity disappear.
Same caster time, same caster channel.
So we kind of busted through the two episodes pretty quickly.
Yes.
Yes. All right.
So I think the only way to remedy that is to talk about another episode of something.
Shwa!
So, Gar, what did we do today?
Fuck.
Okay, he's not here.
I'm representing him this week. So, for this week's topic, we watched the first episode of...
Wayne, can you confirminate that you're representing Gar?
I can confirminate that... okay,
Take it as a grain of salt.
This is the first episode of Ultraman.
Anyways, So yeah, Ultraman Orb. He is the fusion Ultraman.
It's like halfway between Kamen Rider's Double and Decade.
Yes, so he has the ability to take two different Ultramen and fuse them.
Kashua.
Yeah, Kashua.
Now,
yes!
This is Kashua. This is the newest series, right?
Yes.
This one is currently airing.
Yeah, and celebrating the 50th anniversary.
On Crunchyroll.
I have to admit, I like Ultraman as a legacy sort of thing. I mean, I think he's cool in terms of what he's accomplished, in terms of what he's inspired, more than I actually like the character himself. That being said...
I like him as long as I don't have to watch it.
That being said, I really enjoyed this.
This was neat.
This was a cool first episode to a new Ultraman. And it all started with that awesome song.
God.
Raven, man. You want to tell us a story?
So, we start, me and Cell, well, I started watching the episode. Cell had already seen it just before me. But.
You took too long at Popeye's.
Yeah. Getting food. Anyways. It's
food.
Fire.
So,
the, world.
The instrumental riff starts. And I'm sitting there like, this sounds like a Jam Project song. Lo and behold, seconds later, Mizuki Ichiro starts singing. I'm like, yeah.
You're just half expecting someone to go, One Punch!
Yeah, pretty much. Just, oh yeah, no, yep, Jam Project.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm so glad they're doing everything now.
Okay, so Garo...
Watch them do fucking X8's opening.
So, via the Cast Ranger Messenger group, Gar messaged me what he wants me to say on his opinions of Ultraman Orb. So, No. It's a really great time to be an Ultraman fan. Ultraman Orb is an amazing series. Guy is awesome. The team is hilarious. And Orb's design is spectacular. If you have Crunchyroll, go watch it now!
You know, I all joking aside, I really do appreciate Gar's enthusiasm for Ultraman.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's great.
Like, Gar, when you listen to this, I just want you to know, we make fun, but we love you.
Yeah.
And I really love your love for Ultraman.
It's great.
I'll never come back.
It's ultra, you could say.
Run away,
sorry?
God.
It's ultra.
And never return.
You come back!
What's ultra?
We'll kill ya! Gar's love of Ultraman.
Oh, okay.
It's ultra.
You get it?
We'll kill ya!
But okay, so this, So, what do we have? We have our team of monster hunters? Or paranormal investigators?
Yeah, so they're not...
It's
they're
always
not like,
some sort of science.
So they're not, like, super, like, you know, funded by the government or anything. They're just, like,
which
three friends
which
who
I
are just...
Thought
like,
was
I got
nice
the impression
chance.
They were more of a club.
Yeah, I think something
they're,
like that.
They're, like, unoffic... They're trying to run a business off of it, but they're in the red.
There you go.
You know, no,
I kind of like that
you
angle.
Know what they
yeah.
They're like the Ghostbusters before they became
the
Ghostbusters.
That's a good way of putting it,
There you go.
That's a good comparison, especially since we just watched Ghostbusters.
Oh, you poor souls.
I loved it.
We watched the new one. I was talking about...
I will give my, like, under 10 words review of that. That movie is the epitome of okay.
I loved it.
I liked it, too. Anyways.
Okay. Hey,
so,
three words.
Our main character, who is Ultraman Orb, he has one of the fucking coolest names ever.
Orb is cool.
Guy Koronai.
That is a pretty cool name.
He is fucking
You
awesome.
Get it? Because he was in the freezer.
Yeah. His first appearance in the show is he's just in a freezer truck.
Wait, Koronai, is he related to Wataru and Otoya?
He's their son.
Like, I'm just watching
Third
that.
Generation.
No, I'm watching that,
no,
though.
No, the son of the kid from the future.
I'm watching that, though, of him in the freezer. I'm like, okay, someone saw Breaking Bad. What is this?
The team hunts monsters and stuff, and they're looking for that, and, like, they're sad, oh, we haven't seen Ultraman, and, like... Like 20 years or some shit like that.
It's great because at the very beginning we see this mother and her child just hanging her out, and the kid goes, "Look, a bird," and it's clearly not a bird; it's a storm.
Yeah,
I feel like they should have added the bird there. And then they die.
Yeah, it's just giant tornadoes fucking everywhere.
You know what? I kind of got took the Drive Team vibe from this team. They had their like glasses wearing super smart dude. They had the over-enthusiastic woman who was kind of in charge. You know what I mean?
No.
And they had the one dude who was kind of there, but not really.
Also, we got the guy from the Drive movie who was, like, a huge dick in the police force, and he's like, I will let Drive do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we
he
got
was,
that guy.
He was back in this as a police officer also.
Well, yeah, and he's also kind of part of their team, sort of.
I would swear to me.
I don't know. If Gar was here, he'd be able to explain it.
I would say he's more like the guy, their official confidant, because he's an actual cop.
Yeah,
right?
He's like their informant, maybe.
Maybe like, you know, he's the girl's uncle.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's
yeah,
that
that's
was
it.
The connection.
Yeah, that was it.
So he like makes sure they don't get into too much trouble.
Yeah. So yeah, they're chasing down this tornado, or whatever, like that, and then they like get caught in it. And just like, it's funny. Is like at one point, like the girls. Yeah, I was expecting a cow to be like, God, Twister was bad. Sort of. Anyways,
I can feel the story.
So like, she's filming she's trying to film the tornado and shit like that. But then later on, you just see like she actually
had
on the front camera.
In selfie mode.
Yeah, she had it in the front camera, or the back camera, not the front
At least
camera.
You can give Visha one thing. They've managed to keep up with the times.
Yeah! I like how it looked. I like the framing device of it all.
Yeah.
This is apparently...
There's a lot of really interesting angles,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, and apparently it's supposed to be like a low-budget series, but apparently...
It did look
like,
it
looked
no,
really
like,
well shot.
Yeah.
The tornadoes were frequent and like, effective.
Not even that. I'm talking way later in the game when finally Ultraman shows up to fight...
Oh, yeah.
What was the monster's name? Megabass or like something along those
lines? Mabass or something like that, maybe.
Yeah. Something along those lines. Fighting a giant bird thing.
Megabass.
That fight looked amazing. For a TV show.
Well,
yeah.
It's the first episode. I kind of want to sell it.
Oh, before we get into the fight, though. So then, like, the girl, whatever, gets, like, caught in the tornado, like, outside or something like that. And then Guy, like, jumps up into the tornado, grabs her, and just the entire time she's being, like, ascended into the sky, she's just like, ah!
I just like how they managed to cut costs with that shot, because instead of, like, showing, like, a wide shot of him, like, jumping back
it's
down
her
and saving her. It's a close-up on her as she's in his arms, and so they effectively managed to avoid putting too much budget into that shot and also conveying the emotions that she was feeling, I believe. Like she's got her eyes shut, and she's just in this dude's arms as she's, like, descending from the top of a tornado. I thought that was a really nice directorial, like, cinematographer. You know what I mean? It was a nice choice of cinematography.
Yeah.
I'm bad at words.
He's so cute. I'm the one who's bad at words. And then Guy dropped something out of his pocket, which she grabbed and, like, gave to him later.
It started levitating out of his jacket
yeah.
in the tornado, and she grabbed it and kept hanging on for dear life.
Yeah.
So then we get, eventually we get Orb's first transformation sequence, and wow! Just pulled a Superman there, buddy! Just
walked into a photo booth,
yep.
henching.
And transformed. And I gotta say...
And somehow the photo booth was okay.
His transformation was really cool. So, like, he takes...
Ultraman, they
turn he has,
light
first.
Yeah, I mean, like, last week that dude transformed in the ship and beamed out of it.
So his transformation device is called the Orb Ring. And so he has these cards, and on the cards are, like, different Ultraman. So his main form, I forgot what it's called, but it's a fusion of the original Ultraman and Ultraman Tiga. Which
the
I'm
two
happy
most
about.
Well-known, arguably.
Yeah, Gar always disagrees with me on that, but I'm like,
both,
no, Ultraman's
both,
the first,
yeah.
Tiga's the one a lot of people
both,
know.
Both of whom existed in two different dimensions, I believe?
No,
like
yeah,
reality.
Tiga's in an alternate universe or
yeah.
some shit.
And here's where I start...
So that's where I start questioning things on this one. Where does this show stand in the whole...
Maybe it's like decades.
I think it's in
else.
The continuity, or... I don't know, fuck.
Maybe
Gar, don't leave!
Maybe it's like decade where it's like... All the universes are coming together.
Maybe. I know Tiga and Dino were supposed to be alternate realities, but
yeah.
I don't fucking
but
know how this.
But here's the thing.
Why isn't Gar here to confirminate things?
Yeah.
Right?
But anyways, the Orb Ring is where I start to feel not so great about it, because I'm thinking, like, this is a thing that uses cards for its forms, and the way they activate it is by putting the card in the ring.
It scans it.
Which scans it, and that's fine, but, like, it doesn't look like it was designed to do that. You know what I mean?
Well,
like it's not like shaped to accommodate cards. It's just a perfect circle, and you just like hover the card in there, and it scans it.
Well, you know what?
I feel like they could
have
designed that better.
Do you know what Genghis?
It
turns
it into light.
Do you know what the Genghis spark did?
No.
Literally, stick, vinyl figure. There you go. You do the thing. No, yeah. You put the figure's foot and scan the. Foot of the vinyl figure, and then he transforms into Ginga. That's how he does it.
I think I just figured out why this show isn't as popular as Rider or Sentai.
Right.
Ginga's okay. He's a cool Ultraman, but the show itself is okay. Anyways, yeah, so we get this, like, the fight sequence was mwah. Like, it was beautiful. I gotta say, Tsuburaya does, their monster designs are fucking awesome.
Mwah,
like,
more wins ahead.
Like, really? Like, this, you should see episode 2's monster. Like, he's got, like, metal claw things. It's
fucking
awesome.
Obviously the best thing about Ultraman is the monster designs. I'm assuming that's what everyone goes for.
Ultraman Orb's, like, design for his main form is actually really cool, because, like, instead of having, like, the crystal inside of it, it's, like, it's the shape of an orb, so it looks like just a giant energy donut.
It's ring.
A ring, not an orb.
Okay, well,
it's the ring.
Yeah, but...
It's so we can red ring.
Anyways.
speaking of red ringing... that was actually a really cool effect. I know you mentioned it too while I was watching.
Oh yeah, so whenever he loses, like, when he runs out of energy, you just see, like, Ultraman pointing. And Tiga just, like, kind of, like, spilling out of him, and they're just, like, kind of weakened too, and I was like, oh, that's fucking cool. So triple the dying!
Triple the dying!
Triples the dying.
Sounds like a Zoo of the World attack.
But, yeah, Orb's arsenal is fucking awesome. Like, he has, like, the saw blade energy attack that he fucking throws,
yeah,
and then
no,
he's able to catch
that
it.
Was cool. He threw it, the monster jumped up out of the way, it was about to hit a building, he literally just super speeded up to it, grabbed it, and flung it up at the monster.
Yeah, Ultraman, yeah, Orb can also, he has, like, super speed, so that's
apparently.
Cool.
Or at
yeah.
least this form does.
Well, Tiga.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
Tiga,
right.
Tiga kind of had the speed form as well as the...
So this is the
yeah.
speed form, then.
And then just, he has the badassery of Ultraman,
yeah.
the original, so... but yeah, it was a really cool fight, and then he does, like, his... I forgot what the name of the attack was. The...
Something, it's that
Sephiron,
usual...
Yeah. No, but it was... I think it was like Sephiron Burst or something.
Whatever
like
it was, it was the usual Ultraman finisher pose.
But it was really...
Like,
it was really fucking
crossed.
Cool.
I would remember the name if I hadn't watched the episode over a week ago.
Yeah, but it was like this giant, like, purple, like, ring, and then just did this awesome, like, purple energy attack and, like, blew the fucker up. And then you just see him there, like, he stands there or whatever, and then he's just like... Like, kind of just like
yeah,
a victory.
Yeah, that was
line.
Like the most. I was waiting for him to fly off, and he's just like kind of ducks low. It's like shoo, wah, and I'm like, wait, oversell that.
No, he fucking went for it. He's like, no, I'm gonna own the screen time.
Yeah,
he's just like
episode one.
I'm gonna oversell the fuck out of this shua.
So then, yeah,
this is what you came for.
The monster became like was encased inside a crystal or something like that. But then apparently from it, he like scans the ring over it, and then he gets Ultraman Mebius's card.
Because
he's
apparently
like,
Mebius was what used his power to seal the fucking
yeah.
monster.
So he's like, oh, you sealed it. Great job, Mebius. And he's like,
good job holding it.
So then he goes over. He hears that the photo booth like released a photo, printed out a photo. Goes over to get it, and you just see him like. Transforming, it is exactly like that
like,
scene where Superman went to a photo booth and you just see him.
The third fucking picture is literally just half his face, half Ultraman.
And then just fourth picture is just
light.
Blinding ass light. And then he just kind of like tucks the picture in his jacket, just walks over to the guys. Well, guys, did you see all that? What happened? Oh yeah, holy fuck.
Here's the thing. I'm wondering about the fact that he like kept the photos instead of destroying them. I'm wondering if maybe those will come up later.
Ooh.
Like, shall I
identity
find,
reveal?
Shall I accidentally, like, find it or something?
Hey. Yeah, there's another thing I wish Car was here for. Is there actually a downside to somebody figuring this shit out?
Well, apparently if, because...
You must keep your identity secret or lose the protection of the power.
No, yeah, Gar was telling me this when we watched Ultraman, the first episode of Ultraman 80. Apparently if someone finds out that 80 is Ultraman, like the guy is Ultraman 80... He
yep,
has to leave Earth. Like, has to leave Earth forever.
So this is just a space patrol rule.
My planet
you
needs
can go,
me.
You can go there, you can pose as the person, but if anyone ever figures out your identity, you get the fuck back in.
You get the fuck out of there.
My identity's been compromised!
Okay, but anyway, so then Guy, he decides to, like, leave in a badass faction, puts on his cowboy hat, walks off into the sunset, and then just jokingly, I'm just like, but then,
and
like,
then he actually starts playing the harmonica.
And I'm just like, with guard there, and I'm like, I was kidding! I was making a joke! Stop!
You did that, Lane! You did it!
See what happens when you put on the aviators?
Don't talk about that.
The aviators I got in Taiwan.
Oh, that explains everything, though. But yeah, so he fucking pulls like an Akira, just walks off playing a harmonica like a badass.
Yeah, I know, right?
And then we see the villain of this show.
Who has an evil orb.
Yes,
ring.
Because that's kind of the thing, well, not in X, but in Ginga, like, the villain had something called the Dark Spark, which... The Dark Spark, and he put, like, monster spark dolls on it, and some monsters. What's funny is, like, the Ginga Spark, it goes like... Ultra Live! And then the Dark Spark's like, Darku Live!
Okay.
It's really evil, yeah.
Darku, right.
But yeah, he has the Dark Orb ring.
And it
summons monsters from cards! What a surprise.
I know, right?
So I told Dark...
Captain Sub the Cloud, expect the unexpected now. Memius card!
Damn it.
God.
Anyway.
It was very nice.
Yeah, so I told Agar, if he gets the orb ring, I'll get the dark orb ring.
Ooh. Are they releasing both of them?
Usually they do. They made the dark spark with the Ginga Spark, so.
Cool.
We'll see. But yeah. I've already watched episode 2 with Gar, and it still continues to be fucking awesome.
I think I might continue on as well.
Right?
That was actually pretty good.
Yeah, no, Orb's
a lot
looking
of fun.
Orb's looking like a really badass series. I like his concept that he's just like a fusion of two different Ultramen. So apparently his next form we didn't see in episode 2, but it's gonna be in episode 3. He fuses with Taro and Mabius. So it's called like Burn Might or
Which
something
means,
like that.
Does he get Taro in episode 2?
Yes.
That's why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're following the tropes. Get each of the things and then the next episode use them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the show's really fucking awesome so far. I'm gonna keep watching because I want to get I want to have at least one Ultraman show under my belt. So.
Actually, that fusion kind of makes sense. Taro and Mabius, wasn't Mabius Taro's student?
Yes.
There you go.
Wow, the student and the teacher just
sense.
Kashwa. I love that word. Thank you, Ichi. Kashwa.
No, Kashwa. It's like Kachuk from
Kachalot
from Kiva.
Kashwa.
That's what he said. Kachuk.
Y'all need church.
Well, we might be going to church because we're going to go Pokemon hunting after this.
So many churches. So many churches.
Yeah, so that's it, everyone. Hope you enjoyed Ultra Lie. Because it was an Ultra Lie.
I said this before. Ultraman deserves his place in history.
Absolutely.
He's an important character. Not even just for Japanese television, I want to say. Just for superheroes.
I mean, like, he's been parodied.
He's one of the
times.
Biggest trope setters, I want to say.
Yeah.
And it really, like, it really impressed me with that there was, like, more to Ultraman than I expected. Like, it was more than nothing than just, like, a guy that I thought it was a power. But no, it's, like, it's an actual alien being. And, like, he has personality. He has thoughts. He has family.
It's a whole alien culture.
Yeah. So, like, it's badass. Like, that Zero movie.
It's all cool.
That Zero movie was great just because
you
got to see
the sequel.
We got to see we had to watch the sequel just
like dude, I've seen the sequel. The sequel was pretty fucking awesome. Also, there's another giant hero in that movie voiced by Hiyama.
Oh,
that teams up with
and we get to see more Belials.
Yeah.
Yay.
So and again, you know, we've all had our fun at Gar's expense during this month, but good choice, Gar, really.
Yeah.
We all know Gar's gonna voice his opinions on everything that happened this week. The next time we make an episode.
But anyway,
he'll have his own Yetlow editorial.
But anyway, I think that's it. This is a short episode, sorry, but...
Yeah, well, unfortunately, as I mentioned at the start, there will not be an episode next week because we will be away at Con Bravo.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'll come back with a double episode special.
And a point of clarity, I meant to mention this earlier, but we apparently did not get confirmed for a Cast Ranger panel at Con Bravo.
We are, however, going to be on the Super Sentai panel.
So there will at least be something. If you are in Hamilton or can get to Hamilton next weekend, I strongly recommend everyone attend Con Bravo because
July 29th to the 31st.
It is always a blast.
Con Bravo is one of the last.
Temmie's gonna be there, you guys.
Our remix party's gonna be there.
Anyways, so
I'm gonna put on your aviators again. No.
While Lane explores the cosmos, as usual, you can find all of our crazy hijinks at castranger.podbean.com. Follow our Facebook group. Dave Silvercaster is apparently starting what we're calling Meme Mondays, so he's going to be posting a lot more actively on our Facebook group.
And you can follow the Ixie Studios Twitter as well as all of our individual ones, which are all on the website.
Guys, I have all of Cell's sexual history. You know what? I'm going to go through all of it right now. So, starting with Cell's first time when he...